The wonderful festival of Vrindavan, Jhulan Yatra, which takes place every year at this time during the rainy season. But in Vrindavan Dham, there is no inconvenience. In fact, in Vrindavan, everything, everywhere, is engaged in Krishna's loving service. Even the seasons are personified under the direction of Vrinda Devi to make beautiful and wonderful arrangements for Radha Krishna's transcendental loving pastime. During the rainy season, which is oftentimes a great inconvenience for many of us, sometimes there are floods, sometimes we become wet, sometimes our roof leaks. Of course, in this material world, if the rainy season does not come, everything dies. Nothing can live without rain. So in this world, a little too much or a little too little of anything causes great suffering. If everything is just right, then we can be happy. But in Krishna consciousness, we are transcendental to the dualities of material nature because we are not seeking happiness. We are seeking service. And every situation is the most perfect and wonderful opportunity for service to their Lordship, Radha and Krishna. In the spiritual world, nature itself is engaged in the loving service of Radha and Krishna. When the rains come, they create an atmosphere which is very cooling and pleasing. In reciprocation to the rain, where every drop is sweet and fragrant, where every little drop is personally, with pure love and devotion, offering itself at the lotus feet of Sri Sri Radha Krishna. And when the rain touches the flowers, feeling the reciprocation, become so much ecstatic to be in touch with the rain that the flowers bloom more beautifully and more sweeter than ever. In this way, everything and everyone in the spiritual world is inspiring one another and assisting one another in the loving service of Radha and Krishna. This is Vrindavan. And wherever this atmosphere is created, the spirit of Vrindavan becomes prominent. Whenever we touch one another through our glance, through our words, through our activities, through our thoughts, we should be like that raindrop and that flower. We should be encouraging and enlivening and inspiring one another in our service for the pleasure of Lord Sri Krishna. So in this beautiful time of the rainy season, when the flowers are blooming, when the clouds are very personally orchestrated by the senior devotees to create such beautiful, beautiful decorations in the sky. The cloud manifests the most beautiful color, the most beautiful designs, just to enhance the wonderful atmosphere of Vrindavan Dham. And at this time, in the forests of Braja, the devotees create wonderful, wonderful decorations. They pick the nicest flowers, and they create a wonderful swing. And they decorate it with vines and flowers and beautiful silks and jewels. The best of everything they have, they decorate and make it such a lovely and comforting place where Radha and Krishna can enjoy one another. In this way, all the devotees work together. All of the gopis, they work together. The gopas, the water, the flowers, everything works together to make a pleasing atmosphere. And then they make so many wonderful arrangements so that Radha and Krishna can meet together and sit on the swing. And then the devotees, they sing beautiful songs of love. And they each are given the chance to take turns to push the swing of Radha and Krishna. And they dance together. And they offer wonderful drinks and nice foodstuffs. This is Vrindavan, where no one cares a thought for themselves. Everyone is exclusively immersed in the meditation and how I can inspire all the other devotees to make Radha and Krishna's pastimes more enjoyable for their pleasure. And this is the Siddhanta. This is the conclusion of the Gaudiya Vaishnav conception. Ahoit ki aprati hatha yayatma suprasidati. Unmotivated loving service to the Lord. There are so many wonderful examples in the lives of devotees of just how their only meditation in life was Krishna's pleasure and Srimati Radharani's pleasure. There is the nice story of the birthday ceremony of Srila Sanatan Goswami. The Goswamis were living in Vrindavan in such a simple and humble way. Tyaktva tura namashesha mandalapati shrenem siddha sutta tuchavat. They relinquished all of their great wealth and opulences, all of their prestige in society, to live under the trees of Vrindavan, just drinking the water that would run freely from River Jamuna, begging from door to door every few days for a little bit of dry roti or fried chickpeas, whatever the Brijbasis would give them. They would cry in ecstatic love to receive whatever little food the Brijbasis would give. And they would dress
in the refused garbage that the Brijvasis could no longer wear. They would take a tattered cloth and wear it around their waist, open. But they were always absorbed in the loving sentiments of the gopis' unalloyed devotion to Radha and Krishna. But we should know that it is through Guru Nishtha and Guru Seva that we can approach this divine realm of Braja. And to set this proper example, Rupa Goswami, who was of the most exalted spiritual, transcendental character, he wanted to show his gratitude and his love for his guru and his older brother, Srila Sanatan Goswami. Knowing that by pleasing the devotee, we can give most pleasure to their lordships, Sri Radha Gopinathji. And if we do not please the devotees, we cannot make any arrangements that will be pleasing to Radha and Krishna. If there is conflict amongst ourselves, it creates an atmosphere by which the Lord is very displeased. Sometimes there is competition to encourage one another, but we should never fall prey to conflict. But in Kali Yuga, this is the age of quarrel and hypocrisy. So at every moment, there is reason for conflict, misunderstanding. And we should not be surprised. We should not be under the illusion that when there is no reason for conflict, when everything is just nice and we're all in such mutual understanding with one another, then we can have pleasing relationships. Even if that day comes, it will not last for more than a few minutes. Because it is Kali Yuga. The atmosphere is infiltrated from all directions with the propensity for argumentation, distrust, and criticism, and so forth. And as devotees, we have to transcend the circumstances of Kali Yuga. Because you cannot change the circumstances. During the rainy season, the rains will come, but we can have our umbrella and we can have a nice roof over our house. You cannot change the rainy season, but you can protect yourself from the dangers or the inconvenience. In the same way, whenever these propensities come, whenever the reasons and excuses come, and they will come, we cannot take them seriously. We have to base all of our relationships on a higher principle. The principle is service to Guru and service to Krishna. And if we cooperate, and if we learn to trust one another and try to love one another, then we give pleasure to Krishna. Then we give pleasure to Guru. Then we give pleasure to the Vaishnavas. So we should see that all of these reasons for quarrel and dissension are very small, they are very petty, and they really do not amount to anything in comparison to our real mission together. And if we always keep this frame of mind, we could always be united and overcome the influences of this age. As Kali Yuga progresses, literally, no one can get along on the material platform. The further west you go, the faster Kali Yuga is progressing. In the Western countries, America, the place where millions of Indians are running to try to find their fortune in life, 67% of marriages become divorced within 3 years. And children, as soon as they're old enough to make it, they leave their parents forever. Not for spiritual reasons. Sometimes our devotees become brahmachari sannyasis. That is different. They are actually very good servants of their parents, sending them back to Krishna Loka. But they leave because they simply can't tolerate being with their parents anymore. They can't stand them. They're just counting the days and counting the years till they could be 18 and get out of the house forever, be free, liberated from the clutches of that association. And friends, it is rare that friends remain friends for more than a few years. Usually, the more friendly you become, the more you become enemy after due course of time. Recently, I met a friend of mine from 27 years ago. And I was surprised. Of course, I've been living in India and other ashrams, so I've been away from that whole atmosphere. But he practically doesn't have relationship, friendship, or knowledge of anyone from that time. In fact, within 2-3 years, he lost contact with everyone. And he had no fond memories of anyone. This is the age of Kali. It is the age where quarrel, hypocrisy, dissension is always there to creep into our lives and destroy relationships. And as we have said, you cannot change the age of Kali, but you can transcend it. By basing our principle of relationship on Vaishnavism. Vaishnavism, where we become the servant of the servant of the servant of every devotee. And even though someone may say something, someone may do something that may be right or may be wrong, that may aggravate us, irritate us, that we just don't like, we become intimate and dear with one another on the basis that we're devotees and that we have seva to our guru that we must perform together. And then real love, true love, can grow between husband and wife, between children and parents, between godbrothers and godbrothers, godsisters and godsisters, friend and friend. This is the atmosphere that Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come to give to the world. So, Rupa Goswami, he wanted to offer something wonderful to his brother Sanatan, knowing that if his guru and his beloved friend and brother were happy, then Krishna will be very happy. And if Radharani and Krishna are happy, our life is perfect. By watering the root of the tree, the whole tree is flourished. So he was thinking that how to make a wonderful celebration, a festival, for Sanatan Goswami's appearance day. But what did they have? They were living so simple. And he was just praying to Sri Sri Radha and Krishna. How can I please my beloved brother today? What can I do for him? And at that time, a very beautiful little girl appeared on the scene. And she said that, "I understand that it is your brother's birthday, and I have personally prepared this paramana, kheer, for his pleasure. Please give this to him." Because all of us Brijbasis, we are very much fond of your brother, Sanatan. So Rupa Goswami was struck with wonder. How in Vrindavan, for the pure devotees, all of their desires are fulfilled. It is Chintamani Dham. Chintamani Prakarashad Mashukalpa Vriksha. That the very soil of Vrindavan, every tree, is there to fulfill all the devotees' desires in the service of Radha Gopinath. So he was so happy. A devotee's happiness is to serve. A devotee's happiness is to make other devotees happy. So he brought this nice sweet rice, paramana, and said, "Sanatan, today is your birthday, and I have brought this nice offering at your lotus feet, Gurudev." So Sanatan Goswami was thinking, this is very unusual. How possible has he gotten these nice ingredients to cook such wonderful preparation? But it was offered with love. Rupa Goswami explains in his Upadeshamrita that there are 6 loving exchanges between Vaishnavas. To reveal one's heart in confidence and to allow a devotee to reveal his or her heart in confidence to us. This is an exchange of love. To offer gifts and to accept gifts, charity. And of course, the greatest gift is the holy name. When we are performing Sankirtan together, we are actually engaging in this particular process. And when we offer prasad and receive prasad as a gesture of affection for one another. So Sanatan accepted. And when he tasted this Mahaprasad, it was so ecstatically delicious that his hairs began to stand on end. Tears began to flow profusely from his beautiful eyes. His limbs began to tremble. And his heart was like a volcano just erupting with ecstatic emotions. And he was thinking, what kind of kheer is this? And with a faltering voice, choked in divine love, he asked Rupa Goswami, "Where did you get this paramana?" And Rupa Goswami said, as they were eating the sweet rice, and he was also giving it to Rupa, he was giving it to him, and Rupa Goswami was going through the same ecstatic transformations. He said, "A very lovely and beautiful little girl came and gave me this to offer to you somehow or other she knew that it was your appearance day today. And as Sanatana Goswami was drinking the sweet rice, he became very suspicious. He said, "A little girl gave this to you? What did she look like? Describe her to me." And as Rupa Goswami was describing the beautiful characteristics of this little girl, he and Sanatan's ecstatic love was becoming deeper and deeper and deeper. And Sanatan could then understand who this little girl was. And he became very angry. The guru has the position to sometimes scold the disciple, even if they are Rupa Goswami. Sometimes we think, "Why my guru is chastising me? What did I do wrong?" But if Rupa Goswami is chastised, then you can also be chastised. But of course, we are chastised because we are proud and we do so many things wrong. And even if we do everything right, we need to be chastised anyway, because that is our position. But this was a different type of chastisement, which I'm about to explain. He said, "Rupa Goswamiji, this little girl was none other than the beloved Lord of our life, the supreme goddess of our soul, who our every word, our every thought, our every action is in the service of." This was Sri Vrindavaneshwari, Srimati Radharani, and she came to offer service to me, and you have allowed her to offer service to me. This is a fate worse than death. We are meant for the service of Radharani and Krishna. We should never think that they are our servants. The whole mood of Vrindavan is where everything and everyone is coordinating themselves with each other as a sacrifice, as an offering to Radha and Krishna. And we are accepting offerings from the very supreme worshipable deity of our life. You have made a great offense, and you have caused me to make a great offense. But as he was chastising him, this paramana was so delicious that he couldn't stop drinking it. And he couldn't stop giving more to Rupa Goswami, who kept drinking it. And in this way, as he was chastising, they were drinking together in ecstatic love. And ultimately, they just became transcendental to everything. But this is the mood that the six Goswamis of Vrindavan have given to us. The mood of unalloyed, unmotivated devotion. And we may not be in such a realization, but it is true that we can make that the goal of our life. Srila Rupa Goswami in his Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu has explained the entire process of bhakti from the beginning stages, adho shadatatha sadhu sangotha bhajanakriya, to the ultimate goal of prema. And then he explains the systematic approach in which the residents of Vrindavan spontaneously engage in the five primary rasas in the loving mood of prema bhakti. But for those who are in the beginning stages, or even in the middle stages, he gives a very simple principle by which we can, without question of a doubt, approach the supreme goal of pure devotional service. And that is to accept whatever is favorable for devotional service and to reject whatever is unfavorable for devotional service. And to the degree we follow this principle, to that degree we will attract Sri Radharani and Lord Sri Krishna to bestow their infinite mercy upon us. And as spiritual master, our beloved Guru Maharaj, and all of the great Vaishnavas and the previous acharyas, they have come to this world to clearly and without diversion give us the pure understanding of what is favorable for devotional service and what is unfavorable. It is never subjected to our opinion, and it is never subjected to our speculation. Because devotional service means what pleases Radha Krishna. And we do not know what pleases Radha and Krishna. If we knew, we wouldn't be in this material world in the first place. So therefore, we must learn the science from those great souls who are representing the eternal parampara, or disciplic succession, by which their message is available to us today. There are certain essential principles. To regularly chant the holy names strictly. Srila Prabhupada gave the order for those who were very serious about Krishna consciousness to chant at least 16 rounds every day. However difficult it may be, to accept that principle, which is favorable for devotional service, we must do, at all costs. To worship the deity, to regularly hear Srimad Bhagavatam, to associate with devotees, to worship Tulsi Devi, to visit holy places. There are 64 items that Rupa Goswami explains, but of them, these five are most important. And we must learn them. I mean, we must be willing to make great sacrifices to follow them if we actually want to attract the mercy of Radha Gopinathji. And we must reject those things that are unfavorable for devotional service. No illicit sex, no intoxication, no gambling, no meat eating. These are very gross forms of sinful activity. But also, not to criticize others with ulterior motives. Sometimes there is constructive criticism by authorities, people in a position to train us. But other than that, we should not criticize anyone. To blaspheme devotees is perhaps the most unfavorable principle of devotional service. To concoct or conceive our own understanding of Krishna consciousness and to present it to others In other words, philosophical deviation. Not being very humble and considering oneself fool number one before Guru. That is also unfavorable for devotional service. Too much eating, too much sleeping. These things are unfavorable for devotional service. Of course, Rupa Goswami, he didn't talk about television and rock and roll music and all these things. But we can understand that according to the principles he established, these things are unfavorable for devotional service. If they are not glorifying Krishna in the proper way, they are simply consuming our lives' energies, allowing our consciousness to be stolen by Maya, material energy. To accept what is favorable for devotional service and to reject what is unfavorable for devotional service is the ways and the means in which all of us, on whatever level of Krishna consciousness we may be, we can gradually achieve this pure, unmotivated consciousness that Rupa and Sanatana are teaching us from this beautiful pastime. And the mind and the senses, they are always seeking some sort of activity and some sort of pleasure, because that is the nature of our soul. The soul, in its original, pure condition, is not unconscious. It is fully conscious. And it is eternally longing for active, positive, loving service to the Lord. So this festival that we are celebrating today is such a wonderful opportunity where we can all come together individually within our own hearts and collectively as a united group of devotees. We are offering our service. We are offering our lives for the pleasure of Radha and Krishna. And although Braj Bhumi is the highest realm of consciousness, which is unapproachable even to those who have achieved mukti, even to those who have achieved great mystic powers, it is unapproachable even to the great demigods who are endowed with all mystic perfections. It is unapproachable even to those who have attained the Brahma Jyoti, and even those who are living in the Vaikuntha planets as the eternal servants of Lord Narayan. I believe this morning His Holiness Giriraj Maharaj was explaining the story of Venkata Bhatta and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's wonderful conversations in Srirangam, where Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu established this truth that even Lakshmi Devi, the supreme goddess of fortune of Vaikuntha, in whom everyone in Vaikuntha is assisting in her service to Lord Narayan, even she is aspiring to enter into the loving feelings of the devotees of Vrindavan and enter into the pastimes of Braja. But yet, here tonight, we are all being given the chance to intimately and personally enter into the Leela of Vrindavan by making a wonderful swing for Radha and Krishna, Julan, and swinging them, and chanting for them, and dancing for them, and making nice offerings for them. This is their causeless mercy. Srila Prabhupada explained that in Krishna consciousness, the means and the ends are the same. What do we expect to achieve by serving Radha and Krishna? Eternal service to Radha and Krishna. What do we expect to achieve by chanting the holy names of Radha and Krishna? Eternally to chant the holy names of Radha and Krishna. The impersonalists, the Mayavadis, they will worship the deity. They will read Srimad Bhagavatam. They will even chant Nam Kirtan and Nam Japa. But their goal is that they can become purified to the point where they become God. And they no longer have to chant the name of God. They have attained their destination. They no longer have to serve the deity. They no longer have to serve anyone. They become the supreme enjoyers. But this conception is utterly unpalatable to a true Vaishnava. We want to follow in the footsteps of those great souls who have made the vow to be eternally the servants of the Lord and of the devotees. Sri Sri Radha Gopinathji, by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, by the mercy of all the great souls, they are standing before us and they have accepted the simple swing that we have made for them. And you see, Ganga Devi is pulling the string, and how they are so pleasingly swinging back and forth. This is the perfection of our life. Just to offer the simplest pleasures to the Lord. And actually, we should learn to take pleasure in this. Our hearts should be filled with the most intimate joy, just to see the devotees dancing and chanting and sing Radha and Krishna, beautifully enjoying their ride on their swing. Sometimes children, they like to swing. It brings them great pleasure. When we were children, we all used to like to swing. That propensity comes because we are all part and parcel of Krishna, who likes to swing. But when we swing, we get a little temporary feeling of joy. But then when we get older, we don't even like to swing anymore. We become so covered over by studies and business, we think, what kind of waste of time is this? And we get into so many grosser forms of enjoyment. But our eternal occupation should be just to be the servant of the servant, the assistant of the assistant of the assistant of those great souls who are swinging Radha and Krishna. That, in essence, is the meaning of Jhulan Yatra for all of us today. It is a most wonderful opportunity to remind us of our eternal relationships with Krishna and with each other. When Krishna's happy, we become happy. And what makes Krishna most happy? When we are putting ourselves last and putting the Vaishnavas in our service to Guru first. And when we sing and dance together joyously for their pleasure. This temple is non-different from Vrindavan, whenever that mood is prevalent. Thank you very much, Hare Krishna. Have a chance to sing and dance, and we can all swing Radha and Krishna. We can begin by sitting, and let us all sing very sweetly with great attention. And of course, we should sing nice and loudly. And one by one, devotees could come forward and sing Radha and Krishna, Radha Gopinath ji. And after some time,